Welcome to Today on Broadway for Wednesday, April 26th, 2017. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamnini. James is braving Willy Wonka's murderous chocolate factory on Tuesday night, so I am here on my own. And be forewarned that tomorrow and Friday's episodes will drop a little later than normal. As James and I told you about earlier in the week, he is making me get up super early in the morning to record the next few days, because he thinks I'm going to drive away all of our listeners if I do the show by myself for 3 days in a row. Okay, he's got a point. More good news about tomorrow's show is that since we will be recording early in the morning, we will have all of the reviews, including the New York Times for Bandstand, which opens tonight. And we do actually have Mr. Brantley's comments about Six Degrees of Separation, which opened last night as well. But before we get to those reviews, we want to share the incredible news that over the last 6 weeks, 57 Broadway, Off-Broadway, and National Touring casts raised an incredible $6,379,572 during the 31st annual Easter Bonnet Competition for Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS. This spring's campaign brought the highest fundraising total in Broadway Cares history, besting last year's record by over $851,000. The top fundraising show was Sunset Boulevard, which raised over $509,000 all on their own. I guess it pays to have Glenn Close auctioning off her eyelashes after every show, huh? The Lion King, which played host to the two-day festivities at the Minskoff Theater, won for both Best Presentation and Best Bonnet Design. The top-raising Broadway play was The Price, the top off-Broadway show was Avenue Q, and the top tour was Wicked. Congratulations to BCEFA, congratulations to Sunset, congratulations to The Lion King, and congratulations to the whole theater community, performer and audience alike. What a fantastic way to head into this crazy award season. We have more information and some videos from the Easter Bonnet competition in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com, so if you're interested, check those out. Okay, on to the rest of the news we have for today. Last night, the first Broadway revival of John Guare's play Six Degrees of Separation opened at the Ethel Barrymore Theater, starring Corey Hawkins, John Benjamin Hickey, and the phenomenal Allison Janney. Directed by Trip Coleman, the show is scheduled to run through July 16th, and based on some of these reviews, who knows, maybe it might get some Tony nominations and extend a little bit further into the summer. Leading off the reviews is Ben Brantley of the New York Times, who wrote, quote, "That dangerous young man who calls himself Paul Poitier has grown up in the 27 years since he first set foot on a New York stage." Alright, perhaps not grown up, since we're still talking about a narcissistic con artist of adolescent fecklessness and zero self-knowledge. But there's no doubt that he has grown in stature and, in a paradoxical way, truthfulness. This is because Paul Poitier, not his real name, has been embodied with tremulous, searching sensitivity by the screen actor Corey Hawkins in the earthbound revival of John Guare's marvelous Six Degrees of Separation. Equal parts radiance and shadow, Mr. Hawkins transforms a fatally mixed up character into something close to a tragic hero. With this production, directed by Trip Coleman, Paul takes his place more fully as one of the great pretenders, or less than great Gatsbys, who populate Mr. Guare's work, the ravenously aspirational outsiders in a culture that worships wealth and celebrity. Matt Windman of AM New York shared many of those positive feelings, writing, quote, "Any doubt that John Guare's 1990 sharp-edged comedic drama Six Degrees of Separation is one of the finest contemporary American plays should be put to rest by the terrific new Broadway revival starring Allison Janney, John Benjamin Hickey, and Corey Hawkins." He continues, quote, "Trip Coleman's dazzling production captures the play's many qualities as a dizzying farce, a gossipy one-on-one conversation, an attention-grabbing lecture, a drama about personal connection, and a disturbing portrait of economic inequality and racial division." Hawkins gives a stunning performance that captures Paul's dualities, refined and knowledgeable on the outside, wild and sexy underneath. Janney is hilarious with priceless reactions to the craziness around her, while Hickey clearly embodies the sense of insecurity that leads to becoming completely won over by Paul's showmanship, charm, and flattery. Jeremy Gerard of Deadline shared many of those feelings, writing, quote, "On the evidence of the spectacular revival that opened tonight at the Ethel Barrymore Theater, either it's been a very long moment that Guare captured, or, more likely, Six Degrees transcends its particulars and addresses something ineffably human, the terrifying gulf between how we see ourselves and how we need others to see us. That's a theme for the ages, from Molière to Arthur Miller to Tony Kushner. Guare, however, using a brief, intriguing newspaper report as his jumping-off point, found a way in 6 Degrees to make us laugh in the face of our own insufficiency in bridging that midnight dark gulf. Despite all of these good reviews, Marilyn Stasio of Variety wasn't as enamored as some of her colleagues. She wrote, quote, "Despite the vitalizing presence of Allison Janney and director Trip Cullman's elegant revival, 6 Degrees of Separation lacks the comic bite of the original production. In its time, John Guare's 1990 social satire about New York sophisticates who were duped by a young black con man was an amusing embarrassment for the city's various tribes of arty intelligentsia. Today, with social barriers considerably more fluid, the con seems quaint. Were sophisticated New Yorkers ever that gullible?" Have you guys seen the production? Let us know what you thought on Twitter at Broadway Radio. Do you think it's going to be nominated for some Tonys? Are you hoping that it gets extended a little later into the summer? We're interested to hear your thoughts. James, I believe, is seeing the show either over the weekend or next week. Okay, moving from reviews to awards, yesterday the Outer Circle Critics announced their 67th annual award nominations. The organization includes writers covering New York theater from out-of-town papers, national publications, and other media beyond Broadway. Danny Burstein and Jane Krakowski announced the nominations, and before I get into them, it is important to note that Dear Evan Hansen, In Transit, Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812, and Significant Other were all eligible for awards in previous seasons, and therefore are not considered for this year. Likewise, since Glenn Close won the Outstanding Actress Award in a musical for her original turn as Norma Desmond in Sunset Boulevard, she's not eligible either. However, for all of those shows, any new elements that had not previously been evaluated were eligible for nomination. Also, if you hop into your Wayback Machine, you will remember that last spring we talked about the fact that Shuffle Along or the Making of the Musical Sensation of 1928 was not frozen by the eligibility cutoff for the OCC Awards, and therefore asked to be included in this year's entries. So keep all that in mind. Okay, let's go through some of these nominations really quickly. First, the Outstanding New Broadway Play nominees are A Doll's House Part 2, Indecent, Oslo, and Sweat. Outstanding New Broadway Musical nominees are Anastasia, A Bronx Tale, Come From Away, Groundhog Day, and Holiday Inn. Outstanding New Off-Broadway Play were If I Forget, Incognito, A Life, Linda, and Love, Love, Love. Outstanding New Off-Broadway Musical were The Band's Visit, Hadestown, Himself and Nora, Kid Victory, and Spamilton. Outstanding Revival of a Play, Broadway or Off-Broadway, are The Front Page, Jitney, The Little Foxes, Othello, and The Price. Outstanding Revival of a Musical, again off or on Broadway, were Finian's Rainbow, Hello Dolly, Miss Saigon, Sunset Boulevard, and Sweeney Todd. In the acting categories, the Outstanding Actor in a Play nominees are Daniel Craig, Othello, Michael Emerson, Wakey Wakey, Kevin Kline, Present Laughter, David Oyelowo, Othello, David Hyde Pierce, A Life. Notice that in that category, only one was from Broadway. Outstanding Actress in a Play were Janie D from Linda, Sally Field, The Glass Menagerie, Allison Janney, 6 Degrees of Separation, Laura Linney, The Little Foxes, Laurie Metcalf, A Doll's House Part 2. Outstanding Actor in a Musical, Christian Borle Falsettos, Nick Cordero, A Bronx Tale, Andy Carl, Groundhog Day, David Hyde Pierce, again, for Hello Dolly, and Tony Shalhoub, The Band's Visit. Outstanding Actress in a Musical are Christy Altimer from Anastasia, Christine Ebersol, War Paint, Katrina Link from The Band's Visit, Patti LuPone from War Paint, and Bette Midler from Hello Dolly. We will have the complete nominations in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com so you can see all of the categories, but there were a number of notable omissions, including Josh Groban and Danae Benton, who were both eligible for Great Comet, and John Briones for Miss Saigon. All three of them had been considered somewhat front-runners for nominations in their individual categories. Overall, Anastasia led all shows with 13 nominations. Hello Dolly came in second with 10, and Shuffle Along did receive 2 nominations, one for Savion Glover's choreography and the other for Anne Roth's costumes. Sticking in the world of awards, yesterday the Tony Awards Administration Committee announced that director, actress, and choreographer Bayork Lee will receive the 2017 Isabel Stevenson Tony Award for, quote, her long-standing commitment to future generations of artists through her work with the National Asian Artists Project and theater education programs around the world. The Isabel Stevenson Award is presented annually to a member of the theater community who has made a substantial contribution of volunteered time and effort on behalf of one or more humanitarian, social service, or charitable organizations. As a performer, Lee originated roles in the original Broadway productions of The King and I, Flower Drum Song, Promises Promises, Seesaw, and probably most notably as Connie in A Chorus Line. She directed many shows around the country, national tours and things like that, but she's had her longest professional association with A Chorus Line. She was also the dance captain and assistant to the choreographers for the original Broadway production. And since then, she has restaged the original A Chorus Line choreography and or directed the show on Broadway for multiple national tours and in many productions around the country and the world, including at the Hollywood Bowl last summer. Congratulations to Miss Lee, one of the pillars of the theatrical community, on this well-deserved recognition. Moving into some movie news, yesterday Disney announced a slew of movie release dates that will be coming up over the next few years, and there are a few that just might be of interest to some theater fans I know. First, the quasi live-action remake. I'm never going to get over them calling this live-action, but the quote-unquote live-action remake of The Lion King will be released on June 19th of 2019. We also learned yesterday that in addition to the previously announced Donald Glover as Simba and the returning James Earl Jones as Mufasa, that Billy Eichner and Seth Rogen are in final discussions to join the cast as Timon and Pumbaa, respectively. I actually really, really love that casting. As we've also talked about before, Beyoncé is also being rumored to be voicing Nala. In addition to that news, Disney also announced that Frozen 2, Electric Boogaloo, will be released in theaters on November 27th of 2019. Obviously, that will be just about a year and a half after the Broadway version of the original film opens at the St. James, so I am sure that there will be plenty of corporate synergistic cross-promotion going on there. Disney Animation released a few fun short social media videos to celebrate the Frozen announcement, which of course we will have in the show notes, so check those out. Moving on to my favorite new category heading, Potpourri, we learned late on Monday night that Soho Rep will be returning to their Tribeca home just 7 months after unexpectedly moving out. If you recall, the revered off-Broadway company moved out of its home of 25 years because it found out that it had been operating out of its storefront building for years against zoning restrictions, and it would be too expensive to remain while attempting to meet code. This dramatic move, reminiscent of the Baltimore Colts sneaking out of town and heading to Indianapolis, prompted the mayor's Office of Media and Entertainment to work with the city's buildings commissioner to try and find an equitable solution. So, after Soho Rep does a few renovations, including upgrading its sprinkler system, they can return. The company will continue with its previously announced schedule and venues for this year and plans to return in 2018. They are currently looking to raise $500,000 to offset renovations, expenses, and lost revenue from this season. We also learned yesterday that the original Broadway production of Bandstand will receive a cast album from Broadway Records. The album is available for pre-order now and will be released on June 23rd. Speaking of Bandstand, Eric Pippenberg of the New York Times released a really fascinating article on Monday night in which he followed director-choreographer Andy Blankenbuehler and the cast and the crew behind the scenes as the team made their final tweaks, changes, and adjustments before the show was finally officially frozen a week ago today. It's a really cool look behind the curtain, literally and figuratively, that we don't often see. So if you are as interested in the production machinations of shows and how they get put together as I am, I think you will really enjoy this article, so check it out in the show notes or on the Google machine. Finally, in our apropos of nothing section, yesterday Tony winner Leslie Odom Jr. and his wife, stage and screen actress Nicolette Robinson, announced on Instagram that they had welcomed their first child, a girl, Lucille Ruby, on Sunday morning. Odom Jr. wrote on social media, quote, "Lucille Ruby arrived in the wee hours on Sunday morning after a brief but harrowing labor on the part of her incredible mother, Nicolette Chloe Robinson, the Dragon Slayer. Deeper in love by the minute. Congratulations to the entire Odom Robinson family." Now from that incredibly happy news to some really sad news. Yesterday we learned that Martha Levy, an ensemble member and former artistic director of Chicago's world-renowned Steppenwolf Theater Company, passed away due to complications from a stroke she suffered last Wednesday. She was just 60 years old. In addition to last week's stroke, Levy was still trying to recover from a stroke that happened in May of 2015, that happened just shortly after she stepped down from the position at Steppenwolf, which she had held since 1995. She started her career with Steppenwolf as an actress and remained one of their most powerful ensemble members for years. However, it was as the company's artistic director that she most made her mark. Plays that premiered at Steppenwolf under her leadership included Tracy Letts' Pulitzer Prize winner August Osage County and his Superior Donuts, along with Austin Pendleton's Orson's Shadow. In addition, she shepherded productions of Buried Child, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, This Is Our Youth, and Airline Highway to Broadway throughout the years. A titan in both Chicago and the theater community as a whole, Martha Levy advocated for new American playwrights, specifically women, and her work and passion and friendship for many will be missed. Godspeed. Okay, that's all I've got today. James and I will be back tomorrow, just a little later than normal. This is kind of how we're getting you ready for the Tony nominations when you think they start at 8 and it's not actually till 8:30. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio. You can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt. And subscribe to Something Like a Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. Have a great hump day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.